that I can think of.
We want to pray for the families that are going through the first holiday season, missing loved ones who have passed. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue to pray for Neva and Joe.
Yes. Any others? Let's take these to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I come before you today. And Lord, there are so many families that are experiencing a holiday season without a loved one in their presence that has been there for many, many years. And their hearts are heavy, and their spirits are heavy, and they're struggling. Lord, I just pray for them right now. Your word tells me that you are the Prince of Peace. Your word tells me that you can grant us peace, not like the world, but like you and only you can give us from heaven. You promised us, Lord, that there would be that peace that would pass all understanding. We call on your word. We call on that peace. Lord, let that peace begin to fill the lives of these families right now. And Lord, let them understand that your hand is on them and your hand is with them and you can lift them and you can strengthen them. Lord, let their memories be full today of the good times and the positive times and the years gone by and the celebrations gone by and the holiday and the events that have gone by. Lord, let this season be a season of blessing and not just a memory of passing, but a memory of life. Father, I pray today for those that are struggling right now, of those that are passing right now. There are several families, Lord, that are going through this season, and they have to do a final goodbye even now. Lord, be with these families and strengthen them today. Help their hearts and help their minds and their spirit. Father God, I pray for Neva and Joe. Two powerful, powerful people for the kingdom of God. I pray today, Lord, that you would give them words of inspiration, give them hope, give them expression, oh Lord, that is deep within your word. Father, I pray that you would lift Joe up and heal his body. Continue, oh Lord, to be ever strong within him. Lord, give him a testimony. So many times, Lord, you've already given him the testimony of overcoming, the testimony of working through, the testimony of being healed, the testimony over and over again. And Lord, Neva's been right there, rock solid all along the way. God, I pray that you would give them that solid foundation and that rock to stand on. Lord, even though the world about them is like shifting sand, not where they stand. Lord, let the storms come, let the flood rise, let the wind blow, but let them stand forever strong. God, I pray that you would uplift them and uphold them today in your precious holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And remember, Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah. Wood carvings are good for Christmas gifts.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And Joe does a great job.
Yes.
Super, super job.
And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey, do you have the times of services, sister?
I do. Sunday school, 10 o'clock. Sunday worship, 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5 o'clock and Bible study at 6. Wednesday Bible study at 7. Wednesday youth group at 7. For more information, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that.
Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Today, our guest is Pastor Kevin Akins. His title for this morning is Do What You Can.
Do what you can.
And leave her alone.
I love it.
Leave her alone.
Okay. Man, we can do it that way. I'll make a good title as
he,
well.
He may not have growled.
Long as we know who it was that was saying it to. There you go. You know, that's good. He's got you. Man, he's got your back. The Lord's got your back. You know, when you're doing something for him, leave it alone. It's great. This is such an interesting scripture to me, a passage of scripture to me, because the Lord does so much. He stands up for this woman. We don't really know her name. Some theologians believe it's Mary, but we get that. And it's very possible that's who it was. And so we'll stand with that. And we've talked about her sacrifice, and her sacrifice was great. It was more than just financial. It was more than just the money. There's an emotional tag that's behind it. And the whole breaking of the box is the same Jewish traditional breaking of the glass at a wedding or breaking the plates at a wedding. Nobody else can use them. They're finalized. Okay. It's done. It's over. Nobody else can use that. This was for you. This is it. It's done. And so when she gave that up, that was an eternal sacrifice, if you want to use that word. Never again can it ever be used. It will not be glued back together. It will not be replaced. It's done. It's heaven. And when the Lord speaks to her about that, and I'll go back to the scripture. We are looking at Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and we're looking now, we're at verse 6 and following. And when the Lord says, "For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them. But me, you do not have always." She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. And they're looking at him. They're still not quite believing that he's going to die in a couple of days. They're still looking at him being the reigning king, the major Messiah. He's the one that's going to put all this back together. He's the one that's going to bring the hope to Israel. But she doesn't see it that way. She still sees it as you're about to die. You're going to be placed in burial. And Jesus says beforehand, before anyone else can act on it, before anybody else can take of it. I love this part where it says, she has done what she could. And when you use the word could in the writing, the Greek language there, it actually means an effort. It means putting something forward. It means doing something. Now, I know what I'm about to say frustrates some people, and I'm not saying it to frustrate anybody. I just want you to get a clear vision of this. And there's a lot of pastors out there today that would say, oh, we're just grateful for your tithe. We're just grateful for your gift. We're just grateful for your offering. You know, we appreciate it. Nothing's required. Just put another dollar in the bag, you know, and help the church go on. And yes, the church needs money, but that's not what this is about. Yes, we've got to function through finances. Yes, but that's not what this is about. She did what she could, and it was more than just the financials behind it, more than just the emotion behind it. It was more than just the eternal sacrifice of it. It was the effort putting forth to get it done. She began to pour the oil over his head. She began to wipe the oil down. She began to anoint him for burial. She covered him. It was like a sponge bath, basically, as she began to put the oil over his garments and down him and down his beard and on his face. And the disciples were furious about this. They're like, no, they were not just mad that she broke the oil and put the oil on him. Now, get a quick picture of this, and this is a different message for a different time, but I'm just going to give you a little add-in. Did they actually think that anointment was being wasted on Jesus? When you read into their attitudes and you read into that, yes, it was. When you criticize someone else's gift towards Jesus, you're actually saying that they're wasting their gift towards Jesus. Nothing you give towards Jesus is wasted, ever. Not you, not anybody. So stop criticizing. See, a little bit of that righteous indignation rises up. Stop criticizing other people for what they do for the kingdom of God. You're not in charge of that. You're not in control of that. You're not over that. In other words, what Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave it alone. Let it go. Stop being that way. They were looking at that saying, that's wasted on Jesus. You wasted that money on Jesus. You wasted that effort on Jesus. You wasted that time on Jesus. She did not stop. She continued to do it. Let me go back to this scripture one more time, and I want to read to you the end of this. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done, that service to him, what this woman has done is going to be a memorial all over the world, around the world. No matter what we do for the kingdom of God, it's going to be affecting around the world. God's word will not return void, neither will your service for the Lord return void. Never will you do something for the Lord that it will not be recorded in heaven. Never will you do something for the Lord that it won't be rewarded to you at a later time. That's the work of the Lord. It's the service of the Lord. It's a lifetime opportunity to do something now for the kingdom of God. This is so amazing to me. And I said this just earlier. She heard what they were saying to her. How many people today would quit when they start hearing the criticism? How many people today stop when they start hearing other people being negative about what they're doing for the Lord? Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, they'll talk bad about me. No, they'll say this. No, they'll say that. No, they'll probably question what I'm doing. I want to give you a real quick, what is it called when you take the first letters or something and you make a different word, the acronym out of this? Watch this. Take the word now, N-O-W, N-O-W, okay? Now. We know Scripture says now is the time. We know Scripture says now is the day. We know that. Take the word now, N-O-W, and out to the side of the letters, now, N, write down right now, no, N-O, no. No. The word O, I want you to write the word opportunity. Opportunity. This is an opportunity. No opportunity for the W. What can we put in the W that really makes sense right there? Now is the time. Now is the day. So no opportunity wasted. They looked at her and said, you have wasted the ointment. You have wasted the finances. You have wasted the money. She's putting it on Jesus, but yet the criticism was, you've wasted it. There are so many people that will look at you, and I hate to say this, but it's a truth, and I want you to hear the truth. There are many people that will look at you when you are doing what you can for the Lord. They will look at you and they will be critical. You need to remember, no opportunity wasted. I'm going to do what I can now for the Lord. I can do it now for the Lord. I can do it right now's my opportunity. I'm going to take charge of that opportunity. I'm going to do it now for the Lord. Can I just put in a little financial advisory right here? This is not really advice. I'm not telling you this is what you have to do, but I'm just going to give you a little advisory. There's so many people that they receive their paycheck weekly, biweekly, bimonthly, whatever. They receive their paycheck and they want to give to the Lord. And so they sit down and they start paying out their bills and they start putting out everywhere everything else goes. And then they look and they go, man, I don't have anything left. I can't give to the Lord. Maybe next week I'll give to the Lord. No opportunity wasted. If you'll receive your check and you give to the Lord first, he'll make sure everything else gets taken care of.
That's truth.
Just an advisory right there. You'd be surprised how often that works. But give it from your heart that says, no, I'm giving this to the Lord. I don't want anything back from it. This is, I don't want highlighted. I'm not doing this because Pastor Kevin said to do it. I'm doing it because I want to do it. Because I assure you, Pastor Kevin, assure you, it works. Just do it. Try it. Try me in this and see that I don't bring the blessings back to you. It's his promises. She was a service. Let me get back to my scripture. She took that ointment and she covered Jesus for his burial. She set that up. The implication behind this is that her faith was real. She knew in her heart that it was going to take place. You know, I've been teaching for a long time in this scripture, and there's something that I have learned so valuable to me, that the Word of God tells me things that it doesn't tell anybody else. And I have talked with many of my friends and many of my constituents and many of my compadres. I love calling them that, warriors in the Lord, you know. And they have told me the same thing, that the Holy Bible speaks to them in a different way that it didn't speak to me. The Word of God tells us things. Where's your faith level? If you're going to make a sacrifice and your intentions are to do service for the Lord, then where's your faith level? Can you do what he's asking you to do? Because the Lord might very well ask you to do something that he's not going to ask me to do. He may put you somewhere where he can't put anybody else. That's what the Lord does. And if our faith level is all wrapped up in what our peer pressure is talking about, then we can't do what we can do, and we've missed that opportunity. And if we miss that opportunity, is not that opportunity wasted? No opportunity wasted. I have what I have. I'm going to give what I can. I'm going to do what I can for the Lord. She did what she could do, and the Lord had beside her. And he's the one that commanded everybody else in their criticism state of mind to leave her alone. Let it go. Don't get caught up in what everybody else is saying. I've got one more thing that I want to tell you. This brings me to the point. When you've decided, I'm going to make the sacrifice, and you've decided, I'm going to do the service, you've decided you're going to do what you can, then the last thing that I want you to hear is this: be able to surrender. She has done all that she could do in the greatest area of surrender. She had the pressure put on her, the emotional tie to this box of alabaster, this emotional tie to all the criticism that was coming against her. Yet she settled in her mind, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to be the service. But look at this last part. Let me show you. I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at I'm going to go all the way up to verse number 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he, Jesus, sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. She broke the flask. She poured it on his head. But there were some that were indigent. Let me just stay with 3. She poured it out on his head from the very beginning of that head. She did what she could do. Let me get all the way down here. Let's go back to 8. Go down to verse 8. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. She started at the head, and she moved all the way down through the body and anointed him. And what she has done is going to be a memorial to her. It's going to be a memory about what she has done. In the day that Jesus was sitting at this table, in that time, in that culture, maybe you've seen pictures, maybe you've seen drawings, maybe you've heard other pastors talk about it. The culture of that day is very simple. They didn't have dinner tables and chairs that they pulled up to and sat at like what we do today. They scattered out a big pallet in front of everybody, and you would kind of do like an army crawl and come up to it, you know, on your elbows, and you get up there close to it, and then you'd start stuffing pillows all around and underneath you, and your feet were away from the table because that was the dirtiest part of your body, and they left that away from the table, but their head was there at the table. For this lady to get to the head of Jesus, there's no way that she could walk right up to him. She had to get on her hands and knees and crawl over to where he's at. She had to get between the other disciples and to be able to get to his head to begin to pour it overhead. How many criticisms started coming out at that point? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're just a servant lady. Get away. Why have you broke this fragrant oil? What are you doing? Can you imagine this point of conflict? Can you imagine what the other disciples, who was close to Jesus? We know that most of the time, John, the beloved, was right there by Jesus. He's probably sitting on the front side of Jesus, looking face to face to Jesus. This lady's coming up from the back, maybe, and coming up on the side. She's got to get to his head. I want you to think about that. Just put this image in your mind for just a moment. And they're stopping her. How many of you know that the disciples are like, "What are you doing? Where are you going? Why do you have that oil? What's going on? What's taking place?" And she crawls up there. She's got to be on her knees. She's holding this oil that is broken already in her hand. And she takes it and she begins to pour it over his head. Just picture this image of worship and loyalty and humbleness. Do you see this humbleness that is there? No matter the criticism, no matter the comments, no matter how many people want to stop her, she's like, "Nope, I'm going to do this. I've made the sacrifice. I've committed to the service. And now I'm going to surrender. I'm giving it to Jesus. I'm pouring it on Jesus. I'm leaving it on Jesus." That is such a key word, to surrender. So often we make the sacrifice, we go through the process of the service, but we forget to surrender. We don't ever leave it with Jesus. There's so many people today, and I know this from my position as pastor, that people will bring their problems to the altar, and you'll hear me preach, bring it to the altar and leave it there, bring it to the altar and leave it there. But they don't. They bring it to the altar and they take it back to the pew with them every single time. If you're really going to surrender, then you got to leave it alone. You got to leave it where it's at. Can I take you back to our host's favorite word? Leave her alone, right? Leave it alone. Leave it there. Think about what Jesus commanded at that moment. At that moment, was he commanding everybody around? When Jesus speaks, he commands everything in the room. He doesn't command in directional format. He commands in an surrounding format. So his command to leave it alone was not just to the disciples saying, "Leave her alone. Stop. Don't bother her anymore." But the command was also coming to her when he looked at her and he said, "Leave it all right here. Leave it all at the altar. Leave it all on Jesus. Leave it here. Surrender it. Give it up. Give it up." She had the sacrifice. I've already shared with you the emotional tie, the financial tie. She had the service. I've already shared with you the emotional conflict that was coming out with all the words that's being said. But here she is at the moment. Are you really willing? She could have captured that oil back in the outer box. In the outer box, she could have retained it back, and she could have took it back. She could have poured it, but she, at the very last moment, she could have still had it. It was broken, but she could have put it back into another vessel. She could have held it in another vessel. She could have, it had never been the same. It would have never been right, but she could have held it in another vessel. But the Lord said, "You got to leave that even here now. You got to leave your sacrifice on the line. You got to leave it where it ends up." Her act of love, her act of worship, her act of dedication, her act began to make such a huge difference. She poured it out on Jesus. She poured it out on his head. She covered it all the way to the body. In that anointing, many people in that time when they were anointed for burial, they only sprinkled a little bit of anointment on an outer cloth and then wrapped them in the cloth. She chose to put it directly on the body, pour it on the head. The only ones that got that kind of anointment poured out on them were either kings or priests or prophets. They're the only ones When she poured it on his head, she said, he is the king. When she let it run down his beard, she said, he is the high priest. When she moved it to his shoulders, he is the prophet that carries it all. When she went ahead and anointed the rest of his body, she said, he is dead, but he will come back to life. She went all the way down to the feet. Well, you can find in another scripture, she anointed his feet even with tears at the bottom. I know this is a big story, and I'm pulling it from different parts, but think about what was taking place with her. She anointed his whole body. He is the king's. He is it. You can read all of this if you want to. I'm just going to, those of you that are taking notes and you want to take notes, the king's heads were anointed. You can see this in 2 Kings chapter 9. The priest was anointed. You can see this in Exodus 29. You can see the prophets were anointed in 1 Kings 19. All of this is scripture that told us everything that she did. Do you remember Jesus saying that everything that's going to happen to the Messiah to be fulfilling the prophecy, then not one jot, not one tittle will be missed. Everything according to the law has to be accurate. This lady, this no-named individual lady, this rejected, cast down, mocked, criticized lady, this lady did not just pour oil on Jesus's head. She fulfilled prophecy. She fulfilled, out of her act of service, she fulfilled the scripture becoming true. You never know what you're going to do. What God's telling you to do may be fulfilling something that's going to take place in the future. Do what you can and don't miss the opportunity. Now's the time. Now's the day. Don't let it be an opportunity that's wasted later. She did everything that she could do. Let me reiterate again. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, Revelation chapter 19. He is our great high priest, Hebrews chapter 3. He is the prophet of all prophets, Matthew 13, 31. He was dead, but he has come back to life, Revelation chapter 1, 18. Did Mary know all of this was going to be fulfilled? Did that woman know that all of this was going to take place? No, she didn't know any of that. We know it because we have the scripture. She did it by faith. She did it because it was a sacrifice, it was a service, and she surrendered everything that she was to the Lord. She knew that her life didn't mean anything after this point. She was going to be criticized. If what she did was absolutely foolish and didn't make any difference to anyone, then it would have never been remembered. But her fulfilling the commandment of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the prophecy of the great holy Messiah, fulfilling the holy word of God, it made a memorial difference in her life forever. How do you know what little bit you can do won't be a memorial forever, ever after? Do what you can. She did what she could do. And Jesus stood beside her and said, leave her alone. Let it happen. You've got somebody beside you. Let me share with you this one last thing. When you surrender to be a servant, anywhere you go in the world, you're going to find that everybody, no matter where you go in the world, I haven't traveled a lot of different places, but the places that I've traveled and the friends that I've talked to around this world, everywhere you go, you will find people that are looking for a servant. Will you wait on me? Will you tend to me? Will you help me? Will you take care of this? Will you carry my bags? Will you bring me some food? Everybody wants a servant. We're always looking for a servant. The problem is that very few people want to be the servant. Even the people that are servants, they're complaining about, I have to serve these people, I have to wait on these people, I have to do blah, 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 blah. Always mumbling, grumbling. Be a servant for the Lord and change your life. Be a volunteer for the kingdom of God and change your life. Do what you can now and don't waste the opportunities. Let me pray for you. Father God, I just come to you today and I just ask right now that let this word be powerful into the hearts of people. Let this word change lives today. Lord, I want to be somebody that I can just do what I can do, and I want to be able to do it, and I don't want to fear what anybody says about it. I'll make my sacrifice. I will be a servant for you, and I will surrender completely in every way that I can for you, Lord. I pray today that others can be the same. Encourage them and help them, Lord. Strengthen them, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. We did have another prayer request that came in. they posted it on the page. Angela Jenkins asked us to please continue to pray for her son, Ricky.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes, 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 yes. Let's pray for Ricky right now. Father God, I lift Ricky up to you. Lord, this cancer disease has risen its ugly head, not just in this region, but around the world. This cancer is rising up. No matter how hard and fast the people work to eliminate it, Lord, new branches and new streams keep coming up. Lord, nothing escapes you. You know about this. You know what's going on. But I bring Ricky before you today, and I lay Ricky at your throne. And Lord, I pray that you would speak the word over him, and you would command that vile disease to get out of his system and leave him alone. Lord, I pray that you would command that sickness, that infirmity, to depart from that property that you have, oh God. And I pray that Ricky would look unto you. And he has surrendered to you today, and he would commit to you today. Lord, I pray that Ricky's mind and heart and soul would be so locked in on you, Lord. Let him rest in peace as he focuses on you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, before we close out, would you be kind enough to share with the people information about your church, location, Amen. Times of services, sure. and anything else that you feel led to share.
Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity to do that. Listen, I pastor a wonderful congregation out at First Assembly of God. We're located at 2701 South Randall. If you take Randall is a main street running north and south here in Elk City, and if you go south on Randall, right before you cross over I-40, we don't have an on-ramp or off-ramp there. It's just an overpass, and so right before you cross over I-40, going southbound, we set on the northwest corner, and it's big enough to see. We have triple crosses that are sticking up in the air. Brother T.D. Gifford built that church in such a beautiful building that it is, and I'm honored to be able to stand there and pastor. It's a great place filled with great people, and our goal is just to continue to serve a great God. That's what we want to do. We get together on Sunday mornings. We have Bible study at 9:30 and split up in several different groups for that. We have our morning worship time. We begin at 10:30, actually go live at 10:45. You can find us online on our YouTube channel. We have a direct messenger called My Church. You can look us up on Messenger for My Church, and you can get all the locations and the directions to find us live if you want to do that. On Wednesday nights, we have an incredible student ministry. Every age of kid, everything from the nursery all the way through college, we have something available for student ministry that's there. It's very active, and we pick up two different van loads of kids and bring them in at different levels. In our main sanctuary, we have a Bible teaching going on right now of the minor prophets. And we are in Zephaniah, wrapping up Zephaniah. And if you don't know, why are the minor prophets in the Old Testament? There's 12 different books written by minor prophets, and it's what these prophets went about telling Israel, different time frames and different elements of what's taking place. And right now we're in Zephaniah, and I teach that, and I love it. I get carried away and go into detail about it. I love it. So Wednesday nights start at 7 o'clock. And the students are welcome to get there at 6:30. We got a little bit for them to eat. You're welcome to bring those students in 6:30 and then just sit in the sanctuary and wait with us and visit with the people. We begin at 7 with the Bible study. We're through at 8. Everything shuts down at 8, and we start dispersing and getting out of there. Sunday mornings, like I said, we start at 10:45, and we get through when we get through. So it's a good thing, and it's a God thing. And we're very active in the community, doing a lot of things. If you like to do volunteer work, come join us. We're wrapping up Meals on Wheels. Today's our last day to drive for Meals on Wheels. We'll be working in Christmas in the Park tomorrow night, and we got several other things that are hosting and going and just carrying on. Just like I said, great people, great place, serving and attending to a great God. God bless you guys. Thank y'all for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you for coming in, sir. We appreciate Amen. You so much. Remember to stay tuned for the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight, Avoiding Shipwreck. Y'all have a blessed day from all of us here in the studio, from myself, Monica Lovell, from Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Kevin. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.